Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, on the broadcast today, we'll begin a series on why it's important to study Bible prophecy. You know, one-third of God's Word is Bible prophecy. All the books of the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, contain a portion of Bible prophecy. There are 17 Old Testament books. Those would be the major and minor prophets found at the end of the Old Testament. And there's one major New Testament book, the book of Revelation, that would be included in what we think about when we think of Bible prophecy. But in addition to that, every single book of the Bible contains a passage on Bible prophecy. Why study Bible prophecy? It's profitable and it's proven. Bible prophecy helps us to understand the times in which we're living.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Lamentations just a moment. Put your thumb in Lamentation, then go over to Revelation chapter 22 and put your index finger there. Your thumb in Lamentation, your index finger in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. There are 1,188 chapters in the Bible. What you have pinched between your thumb and your finger is 392 chapters. It's basically 42 books of the Bible. 27 books in the New Testament, 15 books in the Old Testament, and that's how much is Bible prophecy in your Bible. It's one in every three pages. 31% of the entire Word of God is Bible prophecy. Thus, I do believe it behooves us to study Bible prophecy. My plan is to give you five keys to unlocking God's plan for the future. We're living in a time like I don't believe anybody in history has ever lived before. There are so many current events unfolding that would give us an indication that the stage is being set, as Dr. John Walford used to say, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. If you look at the last year, Hillary Clinton made a very interesting statement when she stood in front of the European headquarters in Brussels, Belgium. She said the greatest event, the greatest historic event in the last 50 years had just happened. And that, of course, was with the ratification of the Lisbon Treaty on the 3rd of November last year, and then on the 19th of November, the election of the leaders to lead the European Union into the future. They gelled probably one of the most unbelievable political units, and indeed they put leadership in that role of leading that organization, the European Union. At the same time, if you're a China watcher, you have to be aware of the fact of what's going on in China. China has surpassed America in consumption of oil products, petroleum products. They control every single sea lane leading into China. They have their battleships, they have their military personnel all along every sea lane from every major producer of oil in the world today. If you look at China, you can realize they've, in addition to that, been spending a lot of money on military armament and munitions, plus the fact that they probably are the banker of the entire world. And they do control basically the economy, I believe, of the United States by the fact that they are backing all the debt or much of the debt here in the United States. And I could go on and tell you of what is happening in our world. If you've studied Bible prophecy at all and have any idea of some of the players I've just mentioned and how they fit into Bible prophecy, you're aware of the fact that this world is about to see the end time scenario that's laid out in God's Word and the Bible. And Bible prophecy confirms exactly what I'm saying along that line. So I do suggest that we need to spend some time in understanding Bible prophecy. Why should we study Bible prophecy? The first reason is because it is profitable. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So studying any portion of the Word of God is profitable. I did a little project for myself this last year. I developed a devotional. Everybody's doing devotionals. I wanted to do mine with a prophetic perspective. So I went through every single book of the Bible. In every book of the Bible, there's Bible prophecy. We set aside 17 Old Testament books, one New Testament book, the book of Revelation. And we say those are prophecy books. But in all 66 books, somebody said Philemon, the little book in the New Testament, does not have a prophetic passage. It does. It talks about the judgment seat of Christ, which is a very important component in the prophetic events that are going to happen in the future. And so it is that all books of the Bible have Bible prophecy in them. So it is profitable to you and to me if we study the Word of God, and in particular study Bible prophecy. It's proven as well. Go to 2 Peter just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter is the swan song for the Apostle Peter. He's a man that had played a very important role in the ministry of Jesus Christ, and of course Jesus playing a very important role in his life as well. We look here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 of 2 Peter 1. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my demise, after his decease, he knew he was going to be dying soon, that you may be after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. This is recounting how it was when the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, went with Jesus. They were at Caesarea Philippi. That's the location where Peter announced that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's where Jesus then told his disciples that he was not going to set up the kingdom, but instead he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to be crucified. He would be buried and then resurrect from the dead in 3 days. And that was exactly what did happen, but he told them that in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. 17, in the last verse of chapter 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "Some of you are here who are not going to die before you see me come in my glory." Chapter 17, 6 days later, Jesus took his disciples. If you know where Caesarea Philippi is, it's the northeastern corner of Israel, and it's right in the foothills of Mount Hermon, the highest mountain in all of Israel, 9,000 plus feet high. Jesus took them onto the slopes of Mount Hermon, and there the transfiguration took place, the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. It was at that point when, you remember, if you read that passage before, Peter wanted to put up 3 tabernacles. Now that's not talking, I've heard a lot of pastors wax eloquent on the fact that there goes Peter again. He's working, moving ahead in action without thinking about what he's doing. He wasn't talking about putting up 3 statues to Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He was simply talking about he saw Bible prophecy fulfilled. And in fact, Jesus had told him, "Some of you are not going to die before you see in my glory." There's Jesus in his glorified body as he will be in the kingdom. And what Peter was doing, he said, put up the tabernacles. He was talking about putting up a sukkah, S-U-C-A. A sukkah is a thatched hut. That's what the children of Israel used when they wandered throughout the wilderness for the 40 years. And Peter thought that Jesus now was in the kingdom. They had moved immediately into the kingdom. That's why he wanted to put up the sukkah. That all goes through. Now I want you to notice, Peter was there. He saw every bit of it. Now notice verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." In other words, he was an eyewitness to all of this that happened. "But we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, until the day star arise in your heart." That's Jesus Christ coming back. And so studying Bible prophecy is not only profitable, but indeed it is proven to be a more sure word of prophecy. Better than even seen with our own eyes. Many people today are talking and bragging about, "Well, we saw this happen, we saw that happen." That's really not faith. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not seen. So, you know, seeing something doesn't make it real, and it's certainly not by faith. But Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy, and this book right here, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Well, it's very practical, too. If you look back in Matthew chapter 16 sometimes, you'll see that the Sadducees and the Pharisees came to Jesus Christ, and they wanted a sign. They said, "Jesus, show us a sign." Now, that is the most ironic statement I've ever seen in my life. That's chapter 16. Do you not remember what happened in chapter 14 of the book of Matthew? In chapter 14 of the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ fed 5,000 men plus the women and the children. So they had 5,000 men, 5,000 ladies. You got 5,000 men, you got 10,000 kids, 20,000 people on the mountainside. And he feeds them all enough fish sandwiches so they can take up baskets full after it's over, after everybody was fed as much as they want to. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, "Show us a sign." You go over to the 15th chapter, and it's an event happening several weeks later. He feeds 4,000 men plus the women and the children. "Show us a sign." I do a lot of high school speaking. I speak in public high schools and Christian high schools. But when I'm in public high schools, I do the same thing I do in a Christian high school. I speak about Jesus Christ. And I was in this one high school over here in West Seneca, New York, and I was talking about some of the things that Jesus did, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000. I said, that was miraculous. I said, you know, plus all the women and the children and everything else. I got finished, and this real sharp guy came up and said, "Hey, man." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I know how he did that." I said, "How he did what?" "I know how he fed those 5,000. "Okay, tell me, how did he do it?" "Those weren't little fishes, and those weren't little loaves of bread." I said, "What?" He said, "No, those were big fishes and big loaves of bread." Well, I thought he had me. I was kind of backing up. Then I started my calculator running in my mind. Man, if you feed 5,000 men, 5,000 ladies, 10,000 kids, 20,000 people, two pieces of bread for each sandwich, and he probably had two sandwiches, that's about, 80,000 pieces of bread. And wow. If those were big fishes and big loaves of bread, the fishes weighed 625 pounds apiece, and the loaves of bread are 197 feet long. Can you see that little kid getting, "Hey, Mom, give me some fish and bread." He starts out down the road. Look, those fishes were sardines, the smallest fish that has ever fished out of the Sea of Galilee. And there were little rolls of some type of bread. That's how he fit it. And the Sadducees say, "Show us a sign." You know what Jesus said to him? "You can discern the weather." He talked about the weather here. He said, "You know what the weather is. You can look outside. You can tell what the weather is. You can look up in the sky the night before. You can tell what the weather's going to be. And you cannot discern the times. Show us some signs." The signs that I've just alliterated to you a few moments ago are all over the place. We need to pay attention. It is practical to study Bible prophecy because it helps us to know how to live. I was walking out here to speak this morning. A lady walked by pushing her little stroller with her baby. She says, "How then shall we live?" I love that because that's basically how I close out everything. How then shall we live in light of what we've learned today? And she was remembering that. Well, studying prophecy is very key, very important.
Yes, indeed. Your study of Bible prophecy is very important, not only to understand God's calendar of events, but to motivate you and me to live a life that will bring glory to God. Next week, we are going to look at the assurance of Bible prophecy and the imminent return of Jesus Christ in the rapture. Now here's Jay to tell you how you can receive your copy of this audio series, Keys to Unlocking God's Plan for the Future.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...